Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on up in the stars above. I hope everybody is doing well this morning. It is a beautiful day here and another day of living through interesting times, right? There's an old Chinese proverb that says, "May you live in interesting times." And I'd say this qualifies, don't you? Right? Aren't we living in interesting times? So sit back and let's chat about what it is that is making today so interesting. And a quick good morning to people who are just now checking in with me. It's great to see everybody out there this morning. So as we start our day today, we start with the day with the moon, we start with the moon in the sign of Aquarius. Remember yesterday we talked about the fact it would be in the void up until just after midnight my time and after 3 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And when we woke up this morning, we would be in new energy, and the new energy is Aquarian energy. So here today we have the expectation that the moon will also make several different contacts, both to Saturn and Mars that are in the sign of Aquarius. So we have conjunctions at the beginning of the day with the planet Saturn and at the end of the day with the planet Mars. So we sort of bracket the day today with conjunctions. But in between time, sandwiched in between those two conjunctions, is a square to Uranus, a sextile to Mercury, and a trine to Venus. So when I was looking at the day, because usually that's how I start my morning, I sit back and I start to look at all of the different transits for the day. I noted that in my calendar, it showed today as a red day. And I was like, what does that mean? In fact, every Wednesday just about of this month is a red day. And Thursdays are also predominantly red. So I was thinking, I wonder what that means. Well, then I start to pull it all together and I see that this is a day where it feels jagged. It feels a little bit jagged to me today, and that we may have some ups and downs throughout the day. For instance, people are starting to get money into their accounts. My daughter called me this morning and she's already gotten her stimulus money. My husband got his unemployment money today, and I was like, wow, that's startling, because I thought it was going to take more time. So we may be surprised today by some of the things that are going on, and some followed later maybe by things that aren't so surprising in a good way. There could be that feel today that things are moving in an unpredictable sort of manner. So we have to be careful with that, because it can make us emotionally in a tizzy. It can set us up for issues to happen, through emotional expression. And we want to be aware of what that can mean for us. So especially because one of the transits today is a square to the planet Uranus. And Uranus is one of the co-rulers of the moon's placement in Aquarius. So we already have this connection to surprises, to upsets, or to revelations, to awakening energy. So again, it's just about being prepared, right? We just want to be prepared for everything that may happen in the day today. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. She says, lots cooler here this morning. I didn't realize you'd been having hot weather. You know, it's funny because I haven't even checked the weather other than I look outside and I see the sun and I go, oh, okay, it's going to be a nice day. It's just too many other things occupying my space, but I'm really glad if you've been having heat that it's getting cooler. Good morning. A new person here, Gamba, and we appreciate you joining us this morning. Good to see you. And Mimi, great to see you, and everyone else out there who hasn't yet checked in. Good morning to you as well. So I thought then we could take a little bit of a look today at what it means, what the sign of Aquarius means. So I'm really starting to take everybody, because most of you have been with me for the 4 years that I've been doing these shows. And so I really am wanting to take you a little bit deeper into what the meaning is of the signs, of the planets, of the conjunctions, etc., that they make. So, and if you're new, I apologize, because most of the people have been with me for a while, but there's so much you could learn. Just take some notes, make sure you ask questions if you have them. I check back frequently to Facebook here to check for questions. Good morning, Suzanne. It's great to see you. We don't get to see you very often. It's nice to have you with us this morning. So let's dig in a little bit to Aquarian energy, though. And what does that mean? This is going to be in general terms, not just that the fact the moon is moving through there, although that's the stimulus for me having to do this, right? To look at it because the moon is there. And Aquarius, as you know, is a sign that we've all been looking a lot at because the fact Saturn moved into Aquarius at the end of March, followed by the next day or so, Mars moved into Aquarius. And then they had their epic meet up at the very beginning of April. And so we have been since then looking at more dynamic Aquarian energy making its presence felt here on the planet. Now, we know Saturn has a 3-year transit or 2.5 to 3-year transit in a sign. So it spent about 2.5 years already in Capricorn. And its move now into Aquarius is sort of epic because it's been a while since it's been into this sign. It takes almost 30 years for Saturn to make its move all the way around the zodiac. So that's new. And then Mars joining Saturn at that time, timing-wise, it was pretty epic as well because it changed the conversation out in the world and it is putting the focus more on humanity, people, right? It's people power now that we're really looking at in terms of the world. And it may not be apparent yet, but everything that has been happening on this planet with the virus, with governments and their economies, is all in service to the greater good of the human, right? Of the human. And human meaning all of us as people and how we treat one another, how we care for one another, and how we view governments in relationship to us as people. Government is so Capricorn, right? That's so last Saturn transit. Now we're moving on to the people aspect and it's people power and power to the people. That'll start to be an epic sort of mantra we begin to hear over the next couple of years. So it really does behoove us to learn about what does Aquarius stand for? Beyond that, of course, we know that we are moving into the age of Aquarius, which is a whole nother conversation. But beyond that, we also know in a couple of years, Pluto, the energy of transformation, death and rebirth, he is going to be making his move out of Capricorn and into Aquarius. So we can see this is piling up. So let's see if we can dig into Aquarian energy and really see if we can understand it. And I, by the by, also know that each one of you has Aquarius somewhere in your chart. So in one of the houses, or maybe two, depending on how the houses shake out in your chart, you have Aquarian energy. I think what I'll do really quickly here, I'm just going to share the screen of the chart for today. Probably should pull it up first. There we go. And that way you guys can see what Aquarius looks like. So if you have your own personal chart in front of you, which you should, and if you are new, you can go to my website at www.living-astrology.com and request your free chart. And it'll be your natal chart. So you have it in front of you when we have these chats. So right here, if you're seeing the chart, you're looking at what the symbol is for the sign of Aquarius. It looks like the little water, like waves on the water. And you can see in this particular chart, if this were a chart of the of a person, but it's really just a chart of the moment. I drew up the chart this morning. You could see that it would be overlapping the 10th house of career and profession and the 11th house of friends and groups and our bigger visions or dreams, which actually happens to be an Aquarian ruled house. So in your own chart, it might look like this, where it's overlapping two different houses. For some of you, it may be all in one house. It just depends on your personalized chart. So as we look at that, then we can see that we have the sign of Aquarius, and every conversation that we're going to have right now about Aquarius is going to play out in this person's 10th house and 11th house. So affecting the work they do, and then also who they do that work with, and what kind of money in some ways that comes in from the work that they do. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of how we look to these charts to help us determine how it will be affecting you in your personal life. So again, Aquarius is ruled by the planet Saturn. So Saturn holds rulership over Capricorn, looking to the past and traditions and structures and forms. But then in Aquarius, Saturn holds up the structures and forms of the future. What are we looking at down the line? What are the new trends and the new ideas that and the new technologies that will define the next few years for us here on this little blue planet? But Uranus is also a co-ruler of the sign of Aquarius. It's the more modern ruler of the sign. And in that case, then Uranus is a planet that brings up surprises and has a shocking quality to it at times as it is set to awaken us or to cause us to rebel or to shake off the chains of the old and embrace what's new. So we have that innovative feeling in the air for the moon coming through this sign. And we also have this look to the future, which can also bring optimism. And there's another transit today that brings up optimism. So maybe we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and we're feeling good about where it is that we're heading, buoyed by perhaps numbers in the virus that are going down and that we can, you know, become much more normalized again here in the near future. So Aquarius rules inventions and inventiveness. So all of those innovative ideas about different technologies, about different medications, different cures, different ways of being are all ruled by Aquarius. There's a brilliance here in this sign, a genius, if you will. And it tends to be something that draws that particular genius out of us when the moon is transiting through this sign or any planet in this sign. It tends to really highlight what it is that you're here to be genius at. And it could be that you're a genius at cleaning houses. It could be that you're a genius in teaching children. It could be anything that you're good at that is highlighted during a transit like this. There's also a sort of eccentric, unique, quirky quality to Uranus and Aquarius here. And things are different, right? One of my favorite all-time pictures is a picture of a giraffe with his neck kind of kinked and kind of turned upside down. So he's seeing the world in a new way. So invention might be that you turn the problem upside down in order to get a different view, to be able to see things differently. And in that, we find a new understanding about how things work. Maybe we didn't realize that what made a clock tick, right? Or what made a machine work or not work. So we have this idea of the newness of something, the inventiveness and the quirkiness of the energy. Now, I also told you that this sign, Aquarius, rules the future. So where Saturn is always about time. So Saturn's main, besides form and structure, is about time. In a Capricorn, he's looking to the past and to traditions and the way things have always been. In Aquarius, he's looking to the future and how things might be, right? And what's worthy of taking from the past and bringing it forward into the future. So in the future, of course, we have new trends and new approaches to solving old problems, right? So that ties into our Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter, Pallas Athena that had been sitting at the gate 61, the center gate on the head center in the human design, that shadow energy of psychosis, right? Where we keep trying to do the same thing and expecting a new result and we're never getting that new result. We're never really fixing the problems because we're approaching the problems in an old, worn out way, in a way that we already know doesn't work. But we keep doing it, right? That's the psychosis there. So the high side now is that we can do new approaches, right? We can approach a problem, even a big problem like the economy, or how do we recover from, you know, the results of this virus? How do we treat this virus? How do we roll out the people going back out into the world, into their jobs and so forth? It's going to take a particular brand of ingeniousness to do this, right? So new trends, new approaches, high tech. High tech is also favored under a transit of Aquarius. If you're looking out into the news today, tomorrow, and maybe even into, let's see, today, tomorrow, and into Friday, there may be new things that you're hearing about, new technologies or new ways of treating old diseases, things like that. We're looking for the new. This is also a time for long-range goals, right? The goals that are well beyond this 5 month, 6 month mark, and well beyond that 1 year mark, right? Right now, I think we have an opportunity to look way down the future, right? What do we do the next time there's a pandemic, or the next time the economy begins to a downturn? How can we approach it differently? And interestingly enough, in Aquarius, which its opposing sign is Leo, Leo rules the heart, right? Everything to do with the heart and being heart-centered, heart-centeredness, living from the heart. So in the sign of Aquarius, we also have the energy then of following your heart, right? Leo energy stimulates the desire, and Aquarius takes it and acts upon that. So we're following our hearts. You're going to see that come up again today in the Pleiadian Earth energy. Aquarius is also a humanitarian sign because of its focus on people power, right? Aquarian energy is really involved with people or with humanity, right? It's about humanity. And in humanitarianistic ways, then we're looking for win-win, right? We don't want win-lose, right? We don't want to have lose-lose or lose-win. We want win-win. We want for the most number of people to benefit, if not all, right? If we can get all people to benefit, even better. But we want to be able to play to what serves the greater number of people or greatest number of people in a planet, in a country, in a state, or in a group, or in a community. It's serving the greatest number of people. So being interested then in how all of the dynamics, what our choices are, and how that affects everyone else. So many times, you know, we can do things and we think it's going to be good for the short term. We think it's going to be the beneficial thing for the long haul, but it really doesn't end up being that way. So we have to look at things with different eyes. We have to operate and live from a greater world view. We can't have this narrow view anymore, right? That's so old stuff. We can't have that worldview. We have to enlarge our worldview to embrace all of humanity, because all of humanity is sitting on this very finite blue planet, right? So how do we handle the bigger problems that are apparent in our world and do what is best for the good of all, including the Mother Earth, right? We don't want to forget her in that equation. Because Uranus is a part of the rulership of Aquarius, we also get revelation energy, the excitement of something new, the excitement of that aha or that epiphany, that thing that happens, that solution. Then when you wake up in the morning and you're like, wow, I didn't think of that before, and it solves a huge problem. The surprises, right? The way the world can surprise you, the way that your relationships can surprise you, the way that your work that you do can surprise you, the ideas that occur to you that surprise you. And then, of course, freedom, the freedom to choose, the freedom, which is going to be another buzzword here that we're going to hear this morning, choice. The freedom that you have isn't just to do whatever in the frick you want to. It's about the freedom to choose how you're going to respond to the world, how you are going to respond to the people in your world, and what's in the highest and best for all, not just you. So that'll be an interesting exercise, I think, for all of us as we're moving forward here. And of course, revitalizing experiences, things that give you renewed hope, that give you renewed optimism, that restore your faith maybe in humanity, or that the world isn't imploding and exploding at the same time. I'm not sure how that happens, but it can happen. I'm sure of it. And that this too shall pass, right? So we feel revitalized by that. Now, there's also the big picture, right? Aquarius is a more futuristic sign. And because of that, it's taking a look at the big picture, even though we usually attribute that to Jupiter's territory. There's something about the objectivity of looking down the future, or being, you know, stepping back to see what's really going on here instead of what our narrow tunnel vision wants to see, right? And so stepping back and seeing things from that bigger perspective, and then seeking more knowledge, more clarity around what it is that we are seeking or what we need to see. And in that spirit of seeking are all of the divinatory tools that we have: astrology, human design, oracle cards, tarot, numerology, I Ching, and whatever other forms of divination are out there. They're ruled by the sign of Aquarius. And of course, humor. Humor is the great equalizer, right? We can make people laugh, and we all laugh, right? We have a good time. And manifesting dreams is also a part of the experience in the big picture aspect of Aquarian energy. And of course, friends and friendships, networking, drawing those lines from me to you to someone else, and how we're all that 6 degrees of separation thing, right? That we're all related to Kevin Bacon through 6 degrees of separation. And how as a human family, we are all interconnected, and that's through the collective unconscious, right? Even though we don't believe we are, well, I believe we are connected through invisible wavelengths of energies to all of the human race. I would say through all life forms, even, but Aquarius energy is more specific to humanity. And it also rules platonic love. So the love that we feel for one another that isn't sexual or erotic or has anything to do with marriage or those kinds of bonds. It's the love that we have for each other in that bigger way. I want to say this, it's a little less personal, but platonic love, right, is ruled by Aquarian energy. Now, of course, in any sign, it has its little Achilles heel, and it has the things that we need to watch out for. And of course, we have to watch out for a few things in Aquarius as well. One of the things is cold aloofness. There is that part of Aquarians that you may have noticed if you have Aquarians in your life, where they kind of step back and they don't engage. They don't engage maybe in the dramas even. They just sort of stand back. And people can sometimes think that they're cold because they're not reacting emotionally to something that is making everybody else cry or angry. They tend to be a little bit more dispassionate and step back. And that can be viewed as aloofness. So one thing you want to watch for in whatever area of your life this is happening is that you don't get so objective that you've lost your feelings, right? Or you've lost your emotional connection to that subject, whatever that is. And there's a fear of involvement in Aquarius. They step back so far sometimes, they don't go all in. Right. And we talk about that in human design as commitment, the gate of commitment, gate 29. And so there's a need to make sure that you don't have to get involved and be the center of the attention. That's more the Leo domain. But getting involved as a member of the group or community state or whatever it is, so that you are adding your talents and your gifts to the group and not holding them back from the group. And of course, erratic or shocking behavior, that's an Aquarian trait. That always reminds me of gate 51, the gate of shock, where you can be shocked or be doing the shocking. And of course, Aquarians love to do that. And being inflexible in your opinions. And remember, yesterday we said that Mercury was moving into the gate 17, the gate of opinions, where everybody has an opinion and they believe, they get so engaged in their opinion, they believe it to be right, that theirs is right, yours is wrong, because I'm right. If I'm right, you're wrong, right? And that kind of thinking then goes in a circle and keeps going around and around and around, never actually making progress. So we want to watch out here for being inflexible and not being able to see that bigger picture that Aquarius is usually so good at seeing. All right. So heading back over here to Facebook, let's see how people are doing here. Mimi, that kind of explains a lot as my natal Uranus is in Leo. Yes, exactly. Good morning, Elisa. And Deb Johnson says Aquarius is in my chart is in three houses, 6, 7, and 8. That's not terribly unusual, Deb, because of the nature of a chart. You know, where you were born and what time of the year you were born drives really how the houses shake out. So you must have a very wide area of that chart. So you're dealing with the work environment, you're dealing with your marriage or business partnerships or deeper, closer relationships, and then also the gate or the eighth house about transformation, death, rebirth, money coming in from other sources other than what you earn. So that is where, so you may have a really unique kind of relationship with your beloved. You may have a unique relationship with resources, and you may even find that you have a unique working environment. Good morning, Kamal. Great to see you from Pakistan this morning. I love it that we have this global community, right? Where I'm sitting here in this little top corner of Washington State, and you know, very few people actually that join us here in the morning, with the exception of Londa and a couple of other people, are from this area. So widely, we're speaking to people all over New Zealand, Australia, Asia, and Pakistan now. That it's just so cool that we can do that. Amy Moore says the fifth and the sixth house is where Aquarius is for her. Well, the fifth house is about children and love and fun and play. You may like to do unique and interesting things. You may have a unique parenting style if you have children, or you may be interested in doing things differently than other people. And I think you said the sixth house as well, which is also a house of the work environment. The way that you serve the world may be unique to you, uniquely different, let's say. Okay. So let's take a look now at, you know, any other questions. Hello from Arizona. That's where Amy is today. I love it. Arizona, nice and warm, I'm sure. Okay. So next. Today is also the day of the Sun square Jupiter transit. Yesterday we had Sun square Pluto. We're still under the effect of that very powerful transformational energy. Yesterday was an interesting day as I felt in myself emotional energy that wanted to expand and explode outward in some ways. And also like just knowing that there's this powerful stuff. It was funny because I belong to this group that here in the area that I live in, I think it's called Next Door. And one of the women on the group is she works for the health department, or she works for the county. Skagit County is the county that we live in here. And she makes everybody aware of what's going on from the county health department, from the level of the, you know, Department of Natural Resources. So she's a really good source of information. And she handles the social media aspect of those departments. So she was telling us about there was an outbreak yesterday of 8 new cases of the coronavirus here in our county, which is really a population of only about 125, 130,000 people. So when you take numbers and you crunch numbers, that's not a huge number, but really in this little place where we've been, you know, isolating for a while, it was kind of interesting that suddenly this popped out. And it wasn't a cluster event, meaning it wasn't happening all in one like family or traced to one meeting that people did. This was like spread out across the county. And it was amazing. There were probably 200 to 300 comments to her post. And it was amazing to see how that the spectrum that it encompassed, right? People who were supportive of her sharing those numbers, other people who were saying, oh, it's all fake news. And, you know, other people who took that scientific approach and started crunching the numbers. It was fascinating to watch this happen. But more than that, it was fascinating to watch my own reaction as people would say things. And I'd be like, oh, that's bullshit. And I wanted to write back and say things. And I'm like, whoa, 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 wait, back up here. And then other people would say something and I'm like, yeah, you go, girl. Oh my God. So thankfully I didn't get involved. I just stood back and watched what was happening, but it was an amazing exercise in Sun square Pluto, where we have these very powerful forces, right, that are all kind of, you know, struggling to gain supremacy or a supremacy and to be the one opinion that's right, right? I'm the one that's right. So that's going on still. Right, we have that still in the background today, and it's applied, it's come to exact, and now it's waning. But now in its place is the Sun square Jupiter. Now Jupiter, we know, is a magnanimous and generous. It does things in very optimistic, big ways. So we have the Sun challenging Jupiter, right? The squares are challenges. So our challenges are like this. We want to get ahead, right? We want to be moving forward, but we have to avoid excesses because sometimes Jupiter clouds our ability to see what's proportional. So we have to stay in proportion while moving ahead. We can't, like, for example, decide that we want to run a marathon when we've never run a mile in our lives, right? A marathon is 26 miles or something like that. So proportional would mean that you build up to that over time. The sun squaring Jupiter can sometimes just take us from zero to 100 without those typical way stations in between, right? Where we can gain speed or we can gain our chops before we, you know, explode. So we've got to watch that today. We have to watch not going into excess. We have to be realistic in our abilities, right? We have to be very realistic about what we set out to achieve, right? If you have never become, if you've never been an astrologer, deciding today to be an astrologer and just going out there and starting talking about astrology isn't going to help you much, right? Because it's going to break you down because you don't know enough. So we have to be brilliant in what it is that we do best, in our truth, right? And what is our genius, but not go to the extravagant end of things. Generous, yes. Extravagant, no, right? So we have to keep that in mind. Now, the more negative energies here today with Sun squaring Jupiter is a tendency to arrogance. We're going to probably see that in people, either through the news media or maybe just the people that you work with on a very on a daily basis, or just that energy, possibly people working that in a negative way, taking power and using it in an arrogant way or a self-righteous way, right? A self-righteousness, right where I'm right, you're wrong, and there's no other way to think about it. On the other hand, we can balance this out by being holistic in the way that we view things and to see things spherically. And when I say seeing things spherically, seeing like all of the dimensions, all of the dynamics, and all of the ways in which things can play out, and holding space for it all to be right. Or maybe it's all wrong, right? It doesn't matter, that it's just all here for us to enjoy and to live through. So using this energy in a good way, holding that optimism, seeing a brighter future, but knowing that there probably are still some obstacles, some things that are going to come up and challenge us along that way. So that's a good one, but just don't overdo things. Venus is also applying pressure today to Pluto in what we call a sesquiquadrate. It's a long word. It just means it's in a 135 degree relationship. It's the 90 degree square plus a half of a square, right? So 90 degrees plus 45 gives us 135 degrees. It's a minor aspect, but it's one like having a rock in your shoe or a little pebble, a little piece of rock as you're walking and you feel that and you take your shoe off and you're trying to get it out and you can't, and then you realize it's in your sock. And no matter how many times you shake out your shoe, it's not going away. So that's what Venus and Pluto in this dynamic are today. It's about our fears are triggered a bit today, and our fears of loss, right? What are we losing? Venus, remember, rules our money. She rules our relationships and our values. So this can play out in your relationships. It could play out in your finances, and it might even play out in the way that you project yourself out into the world. So we have to address, what are we afraid of losing, right? What is that we're afraid of letting go of even? What would happen if we let go of our opinions? What would happen? What would happen if I put myself on the opposite side and viewed the world from that side for a moment? What would I see? And how would I change? So there's that. So that underlying tension, underlying doubts, and are being exposed today. They're coming up to the surface. And there's a reason, right? These things don't just happen to piss us off or to put us in bad moods. It's really all about coming up to the surface so we can see it, right? If it's just lying deep within you and you never get a chance to look at it, then it's always going to be somewhat sabotaging you from behind the scenes, right? From the underworld, if you will, Pluto, the underworld. But if it comes up to the surface, when a planet transits across Pluto, it brings those things up and allows us to clear the air, right? To clear that air. So that's what is the good thing about this today, right? Is that we are able to see these things more clearly and then attack them in some way, right? Not attack them, and then to be able to expose them, find out what's really under the surface, and then deal with that energy. Okay, going back, I got something stuck here. Let me refresh this page. So any questions, any problems, any I'm totally lost, I need some help kind of things. Hey there. And I don't see anything else. Okay, great. Let's move on to the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. We have some time here. Today's energy is 11 choosing. And 11 choosing energy, 11 remembers the light, illumination. It is that very like big spotlight that we, that's the energy of the aha, right? The energy of, or awareness energy, the seeing the bigger picture or seeing through the illusion into reality, right? That's illumination. It strips away those illusions, kind of clearing away that Neptune spider web or fog so that we can see truth. The capital T truth, right? Not our opinion truth, but the capital T truth, the real truth. We can become very aware of the unseen realm, the unseen guides and helpers that are here, the angels, if you will, or the spirit guides that are here to help us, or the unseen web of life, if you will, right? The what I call the morphogenetic fields, what some people call the ley lines or the grids that hold the planet together. So we're able to see through some of that illusion on a day like today. We get to gain perspective. When we get to see into something or see through something, we gain perspective into that larger truth, into the larger unifying principle of the universe. And then we get to free ourselves, right? We can free ourselves up. Shining the light frees you from the old paradigm. It frees you up to release the parts of the old that no longer serve the new or aren't going to serve you as you move into the future. So then that brings up the power of choice, because today is choosing, 11 choosing. Choosing energy in the Mayan calendar was Eb, and it was represented by a road, and often the road brought up the idea of life as a journey, and along the journey, there are many times, many choice points in Greg Braden's terms that would come up, and it is not that the obstacle is there or that you've come to the choice point. It is in the choosing. How do you choose what you choose? So the power of choice is what we are talking about today. Being here in this moment to serve the planet, and let's talk about serving for a minute, because I don't know about you, but I always have a problem as soon as that word shows up, likely because my son is in the 12th house. It's a house of serving or suffering. And as soon as I ever heard that in astrology, I just wanted to puke because it felt very punishing instead of supporting. So let's take a new look at this word of serving. I prefer, this is kind of Virgo feeling too. And I do have the moon in Virgo. So maybe that's where I come up with this idea that our path of service isn't about being a slave to having to do things in a certain way or to have to always be giving, giving, giving. I think that's one thing that we can sort of get the misalignment with this energy. It's really about sharing. So if we can insert the word sharing instead of serving, by giving of your gifts and your talents, right? Doing what you do best. So we're sharing our gifts and our talents as a path of service, let's say, okay? And then we're also choosing, learning to choose from the heart as opposed to the mind that can sometimes tell you, well, you got to do that to protect yourself because if you don't, you're going to get screwed later. But the heart would say, you know, hey, I want to go in that direction, and listening to the heart as opposed to the mind, right? The mind where maybe listening to the heart as opposed to the ego and choosing from what feels good from this place inside of you and not from what the outer world tells you you should choose or what your conditioning from childhood and on up through adulthood would seem to cause you to choose from. Choosing instead from the heart. And how do we make choices from the heart? Well, we do that from a space of love. And so the road energy, or this choosing energy, is about choosing from a space of love rather than from fear or judgment, right? When we choose from fear or judgment, we're going in the wrong direction, right? Then we're going in through the old paradigm of fear, and we're not adding to, we're adding to the dis-ease on the planet and not to the healing of the planet. So we need to learn to choose from love, choose from the heart rather than from the fear or judgment. And then we have to also understand how our choices affect everyone and everything on this planet. You're not in a void, right? It's not just you choosing. It's your choices have rippled effects. I mean, we can all understand that a choice that we might make affects the persons in our lives, right? Our spouses or our children, our parents, or you know, those kinds of people that are close to us. And a choice that we make might also affect our work and the people that we work with. But what we don't always understand is how our choices affect that unseen realm, right? The people that we're all connected to via the unconscious or the collective unconscious. So we have to learn how to understand how our choices affect everything, right? Everything on the planet, everyone and everything. Okay. And in this particular day, there's also this bit of investigative energy, right? Where we want to uncover things. We want to uncover the truth. We want to dig deeper. We want to see what's been hidden. And we choose then to go on a path of discovery instead of hiding or being hidden or having things keep being hidden from us. We dig things up. But then we also have to use what we find in a very spherical way, right? Because what we find may not be the ultimate truth, right? We have to choose. What do we do with what we find out? And we're being challenged through the different obstacles or opportunities that come up to remember the power of choice, that we always have the power and our freedom, our free will is in what we choose to do and how we choose to react in any given minute based on any given experience that that our lives present to us. So that's our day. How's everybody doing out there? It's awfully quiet out there today. Either you're deeply thinking, nobody has any opinions, or I'm really not live. I know I'm alive, but I don't know if I'm live. It looks like I am. So you guys are out there. What say you? Maybe there's another way for me to see. I see more comments that I'm just not seeing. No, it doesn't let me do that. Oh, that is so terrible. Not so much fun. 15 comments, but I don't see but 4 of you. Okay, well, that's all right. I'm assuming everybody is good. Nobody needs anything answered. No questions answered. So today's energy then about seeing things in a new way, your power of choice to choose how you want to see things, how you want to engage with the world. And also that Sun square Jupiter, make sure you don't overdo anything, right? Even going out and laying in the sun to get a suntan can be overdone, right? And then the result is that sunburn. So we're doing things today in proportionally, which I know sometimes it's hard to do, but that's what we are here for. Yes, you are live, just quiet. It's a good thing. And yes, I'm here. Thank you. I'm glad that you guys told me that. I know that it tells me I'm live, but it doesn't tell me for sure sometimes for a while. You know how the other day where I just sort of dropped off and went away? It didn't tell me that for a long time. I only knew it because Zoom never connected. So I realized it from Zoom, not from Facebook. Okay, guys, if anybody has any questions, you can let me know that through the chat here, or you can email me at janet@living-astrology.com. And Deb Johnson, I really like Zoom. You did mention about meeting differently. This is a great option. So what I do, Deb, is I go to Zoom. I start Zoom first in the morning, and then Zoom has an option to let you go live on Facebook or on YouTube or on something else Facebook does called Workplaces, I think. And so I just go into Zoom and then broadcast to Facebook. What I'm going to change to is doing the broadcast live to YouTube. it might help me a little bit to cut out a step that I have to do in the morning, taking the video from here and putting it up on YouTube. But I do love Zoom. So the option that I was talking about, I know what you're talking about now, the other day, is that you guys could, I could send you the link to the Zoom broadcast. And if you joined up in that link, you would become live with me on Facebook. So we would all see one another and be able to talk to one another in a group meeting that was also simultaneously being broadcast to Zoom. It's how Annette McCoy and I do the radio show once a month from Australia. We go into Zoom. She broadcasts that live to her Facebook page, but we're in an interview situation where we're talking with one another about what's going on in the stars. So many great things technology can bring to us. And sometimes it's also a challenge because it decides not to work when we need it the most. but we do that. So we might try that one morning just for fun. All right, guys. Well, that is it for me today. If you, again, have any questions, you know how to find me. I will see you tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. Until then, have a great day. Love one another. Mwah. Bye for now.